CliffCentral.com.
This is the Third Draft Podcast, the show where we interview all your favorite,
coolest,
funniest,
awkward,
and out of this world online sensations.
I'm Sim Hewitt.
And I'm Mash.
And together we bring you fresh interviews every week on CliffCentral.com, where we talk to some of your favorite content creators about the business of content creation, how they come up with the content, and of course,
the bag.
How much money they're making, honey.
Oh, yes.
So catch fresh episodes every Wednesday on CliffCentral.com,
on YouTube,
and on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Is that where your father's shop was broken into?
It's in his garage. It's actually in Muruleng, where he grew up. So that's outside of Rustenburg, maybe like an hour and a half outside of Rustenburg. Sure, I grew up in Rustenburg.
And you grew up with your whole family?
Yes. We're like a basic nuclear family. Like my dad, my mom, and older brother, just the four of us.
Oh, wow. I'm sure in Rustenburg there's not much crime, ne?
There is.
Is there?
There is.
What's that you steal?
What to do? What's up? I'm Cynthia Zamagilan Tetra, and this is the Third Draft Podcast. And in episode two, I'm not on my own. My partner in crime decided to join us, and he's back in the building. The one and only Mash.
Hello, hello. How are we feeling today?
Awesome as usual. It's another day to talk to a fabulous content creator. She does things that is going to have everybody be like, huh? Is that the content that you make?
Bona. Today we are telling the told and untold with none other than a YouTuber, podcaster, true crime podcaster with over 1.4 million views on YouTube, which is insane. Tshegofatso, Paledi.
Hi.
Welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining.
First of all, we just want to dive right into it. And we want to learn more about you as a person here at The Draft. And we also want to learn about your content creation and how exactly you got to the point where you are today. How did you start? What made you start? And your background. How did your background influence your content as well? So we're really excited to have you. And we're going to dive today.
Yes,
let's do it.
Okay, so let's start in the beginning. Who is Utsego?
Yo, that's such a tough question. Okay, I'm a 23-year-old.
Wait, what?
How old do I look?
Simply answer the ask.
No, I don't think you were that young.
Really? I'm a child.
You are?
Yes. I'm a 23-year-old registered social worker.
All right.
I have an honors degree in sociology from WITS. I must make that known, you know?
Yes,
and I worked hard. And yeah, YouTuber, podcaster. And I do true crime, South African crime cases.
Ooh. Okay, why did you pick true crime?
I just thought it was so interesting because everyone's interested in crime. And I feel like everyone can relate to like liking crime. And I watch a lot of true crime YouTubers, but no one ever covers South African cases. So I wanted to be the one to do that because it's so interesting. And most people don't know what happens in our country.
Mm. Have you ever been affected by any crime in your life before? A break-in or anything in your family?
Oh, actually, my dad owns a petrol garage and then someone once broke in, like, through the ceiling and then went straight to the safe and they were like, inside job.
Mission Impossible.
And it was an inside job.
Dun, dun, I can just dun, see dun, them dun, hanging dun, from the ceiling. Dun, 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 dun.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That fascinates me because we have like a lot of content creators in SA. They do a lot of like get ready with me, couple content, you know, this is who I am. And yours is based off telling stories that really horrify us.
Yeah.
Where do you find your info?
Google. Documentaries, podcasts, court documents, news articles.
So when do you read all of that?
Yeah. Research takes a long time. It takes so long.
And like, how do you verify what is true, what's not true? Giddy him, hear me. You know, this is what I put into the video.
I feel like you just have to choose like your accredited sources. Like, I'll go for like E News, but I won't go for like Facebook because you can't trust things like that. So you always just have to make sure. Yeah.
Okay. Wow, that is absolutely crazy. And then where did you get your inspiration? Did you see other true crime podcasters? Is there a specific podcast that actually ignited your interest in sharing these stories? Or did you just one day wake up and say, you know what? I'm tired of this country and the crime.
There's actually a true crime YouTuber that I love so much. She's UK-based and she was like the first person I found on YouTube. And I loved her so much, I named my car after her. Oh. So she really inspired me.
What's her name?
Ellen O'Neill.
Oh, wow.
Oh, Eleanor. Yeah. I want to see her. I think she's on TikTok as well.
Yeah, she's also on TikTok.
She has colored hair. I can't remember what color.
It's like ginger.
Yes.
Hmm. Oh, she's amazing. So she was like the one to really ignite that flame that
she
I had.
She is amazing.
Okay. So what's the process of you kind of like picking the stories? Because some of them are like relevant and some of them are like, oh, I didn't know about this guy. Like, I didn't know that this took place. So what's kind of like your vetting process to say, this is who I'm talking about?
I feel like sometimes I choose like based on what's currently happening in the country. Like once I did women's cases during Women's Month. So I covered gender-based violence cases. And then other times just seeing what's happening in the country. Like when I think there was like a little girl that went missing. So I thought, okay, let me cover Amatle because she's still missing. So I covered that. And also I have like a case suggestion link. So when people just have cases they want me to cover.
Okay, so we can expect to Tabo Besta and Dr. Nandipa coming very soon, right?
Yeah, very soon. I hope.
And what are some of your thoughts? Because I've watched like your videos and you kind of give us like the facts, right? In a very like almost monotone style.
I can't tell you what I think because I'm trying to just tell that's you the story.
That's what I want to know. So when you do this research, right, and you're compiling, you know, the start, middle, and end, what are some of your thoughts during, like, the cases?
I have so many thoughts. And I feel like you can tell on my face. I have so many facial expressions. But I just try not to be judgmental. I'm just like, you know, people are scary and people do crazy things.
Tsego, where did you grow up?
Rustenburg.
Rastidasti.
Don't call it that.
Is that where your father's shop was broken into?
It's in his garage. It's actually in Muruleng where he grew up. So that's outside of Rustenburg. Maybe like an hour and a half outside of Rustenburg. Sure. I grew up in Rustenburg.
And you grew up with your whole family?
Yes. We're like a basic nuclear family. Like my dad, my mom, and older brother. Just the four of us.
Oh, wow. And then how I'm sure in Rustenburg there's not much crime, ne?
There is.
Is there?
There is.
What's that you steal?
Yo. That's not funny.
Maravello, what's it? Steal?
Stop it. We have Sun City. We have something.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. No, that's definitely something.
Okay. I thought Sun City, the prison. I was like, just the criminals. Okay. What you've covered quite a few stories. But what story has jumped out for you that you've been like, damn? Her face just went like zoom.
I can't think. I feel like everyone's going to say like Ananias Mate, the one that also broke out of prison and everyone said that he...
What's the Vaseline?
Yes. That one. That was like the biggest one, I think. That one's a bit scary too because some people think like he's still alive. Others say like he's dead. I think like he is dead, you know? But you know, just people have like all these stories about him and also the fact that he could also break out of prison and just disappear.
It's crazy, right?
It is. People are capable of a lot.
Vaseline.
Yo. Watch the video and you'll know it wasn't Vaseline, but yeah.
And then when covering or rather when researching all of these different cases, do you sometimes get enveloped in it? Do you sometimes maybe even start crying? Do you ever need a time out after doing research where you're like, yo, this was dark?
I have one case that I haven't covered, but I've had the notes on my laptop since like 2020 because it's so heavy and every time I like go through it and I try because before I record I practice and every time I try to practice my tears are just
it's overwhelming
ready. It's very overwhelming so I still haven't covered it. I want to cover it but I can't bring myself to do it.
Do you still watch the news? Because I know with me I got to a point where I stopped consuming news because it was just negativity. I was like, it's 90% negative and then 10% sports and then it's done. So for my own peace of mind, I was like, I'll get my info however I get my info.
Yeah.
You now go research this. So do you still then say, you know what, let me sit and watch SABC. No. Let me find what ENCA is saying. You don't. No. You've stopped.
Yeah. I feel like there's, as people, there's only so much that we can take.
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to know your limits, because if you go over that limit, then you don't know. Like, it can affect you a lot.
Okay.
It absolutely can. 100%. Yo, and then when in terms of your content as well, when sharing these YouTube videos, do you sometimes have anxiety about whether or not, how are people going to react to this? Are people going to say, maybe, I don't know. I don't know how people react to true crime in particular.
I do. I feel like there's certain cases. Like, I know when AK like passed away and he was killed, and then a lot of people were like, oh, please cover him. But then I'm a bit...
You felt like too
skeptical.
Soon.
Skeptical.
Yeah. Also, I don't like covering cases that have happened recently. Like, me and my mom have an agreement that cases that are like recent, like 2 years. So anything before...
Because we've come to learn, especially with the Thabo Bestas of the world, is that sometimes all the info is out there, but if someone just comes and concatenates and puts that all together, packages it beautifully and makes it go viral, I'm sure you're scared of sometimes even being put in the firing line, being put in danger as a result, because that information is out there, but because nobody has actually been like, here it is, guys, and thrown it like confetti at everyone. Nobody, nobody has ever seen as maybe, I don't know, as the person spreading the info.
Makes sense. I think there's always that fear,
because
you don't know what people are capable of. But then if I let that hold me back, then I wouldn't be doing what I do. So I just try not to think about it.
You mentioned something interesting. Your mom, you and your mom have an agreement.
Yes.
So in terms of your family, how involved are they with like helping you research? Hey, do they even know what you do on the YouTube? Do they understand it?
Yes.
Fully.
Yeah, I started during lockdown, so I was at home. So my mom would help me. So every Saturday during the day, I'd be like, oh, mama, I researched my case. I'd practice with her.
Okay.
She'd say, take this out, put this in. And then she watches all my videos, listens to all my podcasts. And my brother too. My brother's very involved, helping me choose my cases.
Let's take it a step back. What does your mom do?
My mom, she works in the Department of Education, and she's a district manager for like the Bujanhala district. So like,
so it makes sense how she can help with the how you coordinate the information and whatnot. Okay, that makes the sense. Yes. I see now.
You see it.
I see it. I see why you also went to like this path.
Yeah.
Okay. How's your relationship with your mom then? Like, has it gone closer, like, since you've started your YouTube channel now, busy doing research on the most hideous crimes in South?
I think we're pretty close.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, you know, I'm in Joburg, she's in Rustenburg, so I don't see them much.
Okay.
Okay. So, you said you were studying at WITS to be a social worker.
Yes.
Are you a social worker now?
I'm part of the statistic. I'm unemployed.
Well, you are employed with those YouTube numbers. You're definitely employed. And that leads to my next question. How's that bank looking in terms of YouTube?
Not good.
Seriously?
I do crime and YouTube doesn't like crime.
They don't?
No, they don't. So a lot of YouTubers are probably like demonetized. I was demonetized for the longest time. Anonymous Matters is like my long... I think I have the most views for that one. It's like 200K and it's not monetized.
You lie.
Yes.
I learned something new today, because I know in terms of podcast topics, true crime is number one.
Yes.
Right? So it's interesting to say, like, on YouTube, it's the other way around.
Yeah, it's so hard. So even, like, when other people, like, I get a lot of messages, people are like, oh, I want to be a true crime YouTuber. Like, how do I get monetized? And the first thing I always say is that if you're in it for the money, then you won't be happy, because you barely get paid.
Oh, okay. So in terms of the YouTube aspect, where do you see that going? Because you're currently sitting on like over 32,000 subs. subscribers, for those who don't know. Where do you see that? Like, do you see it like one day reaching, you know, the 100K subscribers? You also get your plank. You also...
I want all of it. I want all of it. But also, I want my own show. Like, I want my own true crime show. So I feel like YouTube is a
Netflix, Showmax, do your thing.
I've reached out to them too. They have my name.
Hey! You must be the one doing the Thabo Vesta case.
They must, I'm must ready, be you. Guys.
Absolutely. No, that's absolutely where it's at. But yo, just learning about your journey and learning about how you actually got here has been absolutely incredible. And I'd like to find out, in terms of getting here, what equipment were you using?
I first started off with ring lights, just my phone, my iPhone 11, and a microphone. And then now I got a camera. My mom bought me a camera actually for my birthday.
Congrats.
Like 2 years ago when I first started my YouTube channel, because I literally blew up, I think like overnight, because I just tweeted something as a joke and then I literally blew up overnight. And then after that, I think my mom saw her, you know what? She's actually doing amazing and it's really something she wants to do. So my mom's very invested and then bought me a nice Canon camera there.
Yes,
you know?
Girl.
Ooh.
Tripod.
Yes, girl.
Ooh. Everything.
Oh, so my what goodness. Do you use to edit now?
Now I use, I forgot what it's called. Oh, DaVinci.
Okay.
Ooh.
DaVinci Resolve.
Mm.
Yeah, but before I started with like iMovie.
Yeah.
That's what we
everyone
start.
Starts.
It's a good start. Yeah. Not the greatest, but it's a good start.
Something.
Yeah.
See, I'm growing. You can see my growth. That's what's important.
Yeah, I even see the thumbnails are getting better.
Yeah, you see my thumbnails before. They were a bit.
They were skeptical, eh?
I'd be filming there and you can see my ring light on my glasses. It was bad. See, growth. That's all that's important.
I love it for you. It's so fun seeing the side of you because, as I said, I watch your videos and you're very monotone. Like, you're just like, this is what happened. So seeing you laugh and bubbly, it's just like, who's this person?
I'm like the opposite of what I am in my videos.
Okay. And that was deliberate, right?
Yes, it was.
Why?
Because I feel like I'm telling people facts, I'm telling them a story, and it's not fun in any way. Like, it's very serious. I'm talking about murder, and I can't be making jokes. One time I made a joke, and the comments I got, after that, I said, no more.
So it was probably a
bad joke. I understand, because sometimes the victims' families.
Yeah, they're watching.
People who are murdered, their families are watching this.
And they were laughing. To me. Like, I remember last time someone said, you covered my mom. Like, I think her husband killed her 3 children and tried to kill her and then they found her and then she got remarried, had 2 more children, and she's like, thank you so much for covering my mother's case, it means so much to me. So they do watch it, so I always have to make sure that what I cover, I do it to the best of my ability, because I'm not just doing it for entertainment, I'm also doing it for people's families.
Absolutely.
That's interesting. So I was gonna share that there's a TikToker that I follow recently. Forgot his name, and he also does like true crime, but it's hilarious. His opening stances, you know what time it is, let's get into it. And then he kind of makes, like, he tells the story. So the first video I saw of his was of Moses Sithole. And that was like the first kind of South African serial killer and whatnot. And he's like, you won't believe this guy was in Boksburg and ladies be dating bums. And I'm like, oh my word. Like, he tells the story in such a funny way where I was like, damn, okay, I didn't even know this about our history of crime and like the amount of serial killers in SA, but he's hilarious. Like, you cannot watch that thing with a straight face. I guess you can have a balance.
That's true.
But I also guess that's not what you're trying to, you're not trying to make us laugh on TikTok.
Yeah, I'm not.
Which, you know, your way is definitely working, because I think it's really dope content and it's different content. It's refreshing. And we had Uzamasa on, the nerdy content creator, a couple of months ago. And his content is also very heavily researched, very fact-based. And it's so interesting to be like, I didn't know this about my own country. And here's another content creator kind of giving us things that we didn't know. And even though you haven't reached your 1 million subs yet, I think you will one day, someday. I look forward to like hearing more of the stories. Like, maybe also cover. I don't know if you have yet, because I don't watch all. But Moses Sithole, that guy.
I have. You have. Like one of my first videos.
Like, that guy, crazy, right?
Is
crazy.
A lot of them are crazy.
Girl. there been cases where you've watched and you're just like, oh, I can't wait to cover this one?
Yes.
Serious?
Yeah.
Like?
Okay, obviously, you know, like Thabo Bester, but I feel like other ones. Of course. Like, if you just see something, you know, like, this one's going to get views and people are going to like this. Mm. I'll just take notes. I must always remember it. But, okay, one day when everything's resolved, I'm going to do this.
Oh, wow. Mm. And has there been like a video that you've dropped and you're like, I'm not too sure about this one, Gandhi? That's the one that blew up. That's the one that.
The Ananas Mata one blew up. I think I covered Uyinene and I think that was my most requested one.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't do as well as I thought it was going to do. Mm-hmm. And also considering like how big it was in SA, I was very disappointed about that because I thought that if anything was going to blow up, it was going to be this video and it didn't.
Mm.
Oh. And then the one that did blow up.
Vaseline, like who's gonna care? But now everyone cares. Mm. So I was like, okay, it's just people are interesting.
Mm. People definitely are. Mm. And I'd like to find out how many, are there any challenges that you are faced with whenever working on a video? Is there anything that you always come across? Maybe an obstacle in terms of getting your information or anything?
Like a lot of news, like. I want to say news, not newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
What should I call them?
News outlets?
Yeah. Like they want you to pay for articles.
Yeah.
And also because I don't get paid that much, now I have to put, like I'm putting in more money than I get back.
Mm-hmm.
And also there's like a true crime documentary that came out in South Africa and it came out like 2010 or something. I remember I was still young when I watched it and it's not available in South Africa, but it's available everywhere else. So I tried to watch it and said, oh, it's not available in your country. And I didn't understand why. Because I'm like, it's literally South African true crime documentary, but we don't have access to it. So just things like that. So then I had to get like a VPN and then pay for a VPN. Ooh, just like to watch it. Imagine. So just things like that where it's a bit challenging. Or cases that aren't heavily reported on. Mm-hmm. So cases I want to cover, but then there's no information. So I can't really do much about that.
So you never play the role of journalist. You never actually go out there.
I'm not a journalist.
Yeah.
I always tell my mom that. When she's like, don't cover this case, it's too serious, or people are going to come after you. And I say, but I'm not telling them anything that they don't know. I'm just telling them everything in a way that they'll understand it.
Yes.
And just in one video. And everything I get, I literally list all my sources. So if you want to come after me, you know, I'm not the one. Just
go after them.
Yeah,
not
go
me.
After them.
Yeah.
Have you gotten death threats or threats of any kind from any videos or someone just being
from,
like.
I did Ananas Mata. And then I think someone that he grew up with, he's like, oh no, I grew up with this man in Mozambique. And then tell me like this whole paragraph about how he grew up, how he still sees his family, and how I was lying in my video. And I said, hey, sorry.
Block.
Block same time.
Oh, jeez.
10 past 4. I'm curious to now also hear about your podcast. So, it's one thing being a YouTuber, visuals very important, but like podcasting, audio, you know, talking, mic.
I like it better than.
Do you?
YouTube. Yeah, I feel like it's just easier because when I do like my YouTube videos, I practice so that if there's like there's no pictures, I must be talking to you guys and I can't like just cover up the fact that I'm reading. Because sometimes I read in my videos and then if you see a picture, I just know, this one she's reading. But podcasting, it's so nice because I have everything there and I can just read it. Editing is harder than YouTube, but I enjoy it better.
Mm.
What do you use to edit your podcast?
Audacity.
Ish girl. Yes.
Okay. I am starting some.
It's fine. No,
yeah,
I'm not
it's
judging.
It's so hard though.
Even me, I use that thing. Even me, I use it. I'm not judging. I think Ryan, who edited the podcast, he might be judging. He's just like,
can't judge us. We beginners.
We are there by control I.
You reminded me of like there's this guy, he's also a YouTuber, right? And he talks to like ex-cons.
Oh, yes.
And things like that. Do you ever see yourself doing interviews?
Yes, I do. I just think for me it's the thing of not knowing where to start.
Who would you like to interview? If you could, just name drop. Just put it out there.
If I could.
Yeah.
I think I'd do Oscar.
Oscar Pistorius, ne? I was literally thinking him.
Really?
I was like, damn.
You see, we're on the same wavelength.
Yeah. I'd like to hear that.
Yeah, I would.
Mm.
Okay, so he's patrol. What patrol?
Listen got denied.
He's parole.
Yeah. I was thinking, I wanted to sound smart and then Like, also me, I know the things of crime and these things, even me. But patrol.
It happens.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting. I mean, he's alive. I feel like there's going to be a Netflix story on him very soon. Very, very, mm-hmm. very soon.
Mm.
So it would be interesting to get his voice.
Yeah,
it would. But you can do it behind... They can allow you in behind the...
Yeah, but also I feel like I want people that also know what they're doing. Like, you know, like if you have like cameras and then the lights.
Netflix,
like,
do you think?
You see, like, I want it to be serious. So even when I do it, also, I don't know, like, who do I talk to and just things like that. Also, just progressing on my own YouTube channel. Like, which people do I talk to so I'm able to do the things that I want to do?
Mm.
Does that make sense?
It does.
Mm.
It really does. Okay, I see that. Mm. How long have you had your podcast for?
I literally started this year in January.
Ooh.
Mm. So it's still new.
And how are you finding it? I know you said you enjoy it better than the YouTubes, but like in terms of the journey, how are you finding it? And also in terms of like being a content creator, like do you feel like you didn't mention earlier that you're growing, but like do you feel like in terms of how you are presenting things, doing things, you know, that you're cooler?
Mm. Yeah, I think I'm doing fine. I think I'm doing well.
You're doing amazing.
I'd like to think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I feel like in my content creation journey, I've reached like a hiccup. Like I'm stagnant.
Okay.
And like my subscribers, my views, like mm-hmm. I'm just like the same. Like I've just been cruising. And it's not like, if you're a content creator, I feel like you know that's not what you want. You constantly want to be like growing your subscribers, growing your viewers. And for me, it's just not that. And I think it's so hard for me to accept that and like understand that it's a thing that happens, because when I blew up, I literally just got like 15,000 subscribers in maybe like less than a week.
And that's so rare, because you hear the other side of the story. Someone had like a YouTube channel for 5 years with 200 subs, and then like jiggy, year six, they get their 30,000 subs. So... Yeah, you
so for me, I literally, and it was just through a tweet. It was like a joke, because someone was making fun of a YouTuber. They were like, oh, when we sit and watch vlogs, we don't want to watch you drink tea for 30 minutes. And then as a joke, I said, oh, guys, this is a true crime YouTuber. Shout out to African Cases. And, you know, just I think people would laugh. And then I think got like 8,000 likes. And then I grew from like 400 subscribers to, I think, 5,000 in like 12 hours.
Sure.
And then after that, it was just... continuous, and then now it's just the same.
Sure.
Yeah.
But all content creators do go through that.
Mm.
All you have to do is just keep pushing.
Mm.
And yeah, just keep pushing nonetheless.
Yeah. I'm curious to like find out your thoughts on like crime in South Africa.
Okay.
Like, as someone who now researches what has happened, you know, and living in South Africa in 2023, what are your thoughts on like crime right now?
You know what? I think that a lot of people, when they see South Africa and they see like all the crime that happens, they like to think that our justice system isn't good enough, or our police officers don't work, and people like Thabo Bester and them can like escape. But I think it's important for us to remember that there are times where they work really hard to solve cases, and cases that you wouldn't even think about. Like, there's a case I covered recently where this woman was like a black woman, and she worked at a restaurant for like 13 years, and then she just disappeared suddenly, and then they found like notes under a carpet, and they literally went after her. And that's someone where you'd like to think that police officers would just forget about her, and they wouldn't put in the effort to find out who killed her or why. So just small things like that. Like, our crime rates are high and they could do a better job, but there are those special people that do work hard to solve those cases.
Mm.
So we're not like that bad.
I like that. I like you sharing like the other side of the story, to be like, yeah, we might be complaining that there's a lot of femicide going on, but there is something being done.
Mm.
Yeah. I guess.
Something.
I guess. Mm. Yes.
What topics interest you most? So whether it's murder, is it blue-collared crime, is it what type of crime just sparks your interest?
Family side.
Oh, yeah.
So like parents that kill like... their wives or their children, or children that kill their parents and their siblings.
Yes, the family annihilated.
Yes. Is this also how, like, because you mentioned that, like, you studied what being a social worker, right?
Yes.
Do you also then get into the, like, why would you do this? What happened? Like, what went wrong? Like, do you, like, in terms of what you studied, also try get into the minds of, like, the criminals?
No.
Oh.
I like to keep them separate.
Yeah, she's like, I don't care, damn.
I don't need to know why you killed her. I just want to know what happened.
Yeah, I do. But yeah, it's interesting.
Oh, beautiful. And then my last question is for all the people listening to your podcast or watching you on YouTube, is there anything you'd like to tell them? Because some of them do want to do what you're doing as well. Mm. Many people, we hear this all the time here at Cliff Central. Hey, I also want to do a podcast. Hey, I also want to do. But it's like, okay, what are you doing about it? You know, so those people who are at home saying, I want to do this as well, but they haven't done anything yet. What advice would you like to give them about starting?
Just start.
Just start.
I feel like everyone says that, just start.
Mm. And whether commit.
Yeah, because commit, you consistency. Can start,
yeah,
you can start, you get two views, you're like, hey, it's not working, let me just.
Yeah. You always just have to keep pushing. Even if you don't have a camera, you don't have like the microphone you want, you feel like your phone isn't that good enough to film, just start, because you're always going to come up with excuses and you'll never find the right time. So even now, if you say, you know what, you have that moment where you're like, yeah, I can do this, and then just do it.
Beautiful.
I like that. My last, I don't think it's a question, but okay. I think it is a question. I know that you focus on South African crime, but do you ever see yourself panning out sub-Africa, doing the whole of Africa, you know, one day, someday?
Yes. I really do want to do that.
Okay.
But there's still a lot of cases I want to cover here first.
Yes, because
before I
there's a few countries I'd just like for you to start with, you know.
Like?
I'm very curious to understand what happens in Ghana. Okay. Like, just in terms of just here. Because I feel like also in SA, and they always say this about us, is that we almost like closed off. Mm. So like the rest of Africa knows what happens here.
But we don't know what happens there. We don't there.
And I'm just very curious to be like, okay, Ghana, what happens? Mm. You know, what's going on there? Also, the economy is growing. They're doing massive things in Africa. So also just seeing them move, like what's going on there. For me, Ghana, I've always had a love for Morocco. So
okay.
I'd love
That's
to
interesting. Hear. I've never thought about that one.
Morocco. Girl, let me tell you, I wanted to go to Morocco for my 28th, and it hasn't happened, but...
It'll like, happen.
I'm 28, so I don't... But show me the money, you know, in Cyril's economy, show me the money. But like, I've always just been curious about Morocco, what happens in Morocco. And then last but not least, Zimbabwe, guys. We need to know what happens to our brothers and sisters in Zimbabwe. I'm just...
Okay.
Top three?
Okay,
take it or leave it.
I'm taking it.
But thank you so much for joining us. I think your content is dope. I think it's different. It's unforgettable content. Like, it's the kind of content I watch and then I'm like, damn, let me share this with a friend because she didn't know this. I wish you nothing but the best in your endeavors of growing on YouTube, but also on the podcast fields. Like, I wish that Netflix one day hears this podcast. Yes, you know, like. Please. Netflix, Showmax, in Disney Plus,
all of them.
Zonke bonke, ne?
Come for me. I'm ready. I'm ready for all those opportunities.
Yes, for you to cover like you know, some of the biggest true crime stories.
Yes.
And seeing you just grow, maybe even be, you know, on the televisions, ENCA, you know, special, you know, 60 what baby tang, 60 minutes.
60 minutes. Yes.
Type of vibes. You know. But you're only 23, super young, so you definitely, you know.
The world is my oyster.
Quite literally. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's beautiful.
Yes. But yeah, that is episode 2 of season 2 of the Third Draft podcast. I enjoyed this one. I hope you guys learned a thing or two. We will be back with another episode of someone who's doing great, someone who's doing amazing. Mash, I don't know if you have any final thoughts.
I had so much fun doing this. I love true crime. It's all I listen to when I'm driving, when I'm
fun
bossing.
Same. Fun fact. Let me expose Mash. before we officially started working with Mash, he had a podcast on true crime, I think.
Really? Yes. What happened? You weren't consistency.
No, I was consistent. No? No, the provider I was using expect me to pay. So they were like, if you're not posting episodes, you have to pay. If you're posting episodes, you don't have to pay.
Okay, that should motivate you.
Your life happens. There was no time to post episodes. Okay. And I was like, I'm paying for something that's not doing anything. So let me just...
Close it.
Yes. Mm. But I still have all the episodes archived. Okay. I'm going to put them live sometime soon.
You should.
Put them back up. Maybe on YouTube, because YouTube I don't have to pay. I'll just put them on YouTube.
Yeah.
See, I put them on Blast. Put them on Blast. But this is dope. And we'll see you guys on the flip side of life. And with that said, don't forget to go and create some content. All right.
And follow us. Yeah.
And subscribe to my channel.
Yes, at a girl.
At Sofa Lady.
Absolutely.
And add my podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcasts from.
She's such a professional. She even knows.
Give her five stars.
She even knows.
Give her five stars and give us five stars too if you're enjoying the show. And let's keep at it.
Alrighty. Peace.
Bye. Cliffcentral.com.